Having to prove that you're not homosexual is in and of itself pretty suspect.
Because, like, what are you trying to prove, bro? Like, why do you care so much? If you're
If
not, you're
you
not.
feel like you need to prove it, which don't get me wrong, like we're very much raised to feel that way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm not gay, bro. Are you gay,
Yeah,
bro?
but if you stick with that mentality for your whole life, well, all it does is show that you were stunted. I'm not gonna do anything. I'm not gonna say anything disparaging.
Homosexually stunted? Or, like, what are you talking about, stunted?
No, developmentally stunted.
Like,
You're
in
still
your.
a child.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're afraid. You have an irrational like reaction and fear to something. You have an almost traumatic like PTSD like response. Some people do,
Someone might.
which could say more about like what's happened than I guess I realize.
I mean, yeah, what do you
Yeah,
think
like
about
if
it?
someone is that aggressive about it, there might be a reason. But anyway. I don't know. See, when I get into these issues, it just reminds me that everything is horrible.
It's true.
It's all bad, and bad stuff happens to everybody. And then some people carry the bad stuff with them forever, and some people eventually learn to get rid of it.
And that's
I
life.
would say we're working towards bettering ourselves and not passing any of the shit that's happened to us out into other people.
And that's why we're so gay. It makes it so much easier.
Pretty gay.
Go be gay, everyone. It's the best.
Actually, like some people, I know a lot of people out there would be a lot happier if they just like were
Be
gay.
gay. Welcome to the podcast where we
I'm Ben.
talk stuff and be gay. This week,
It's true
we I don't know when we might be a little shorter because both of us are on schedules today and
though.
we
It's
got
a time
it's the
crunch.
time. We'll see what happens. Maybe 45-minute episode, maybe 50-minute episode, maybe the same episode, and who knows? It begins now. Was the start. That's where it started, right there at the welcome to welcome to this. Hi.
Welcome to our show.
Worst podcast on the internet since 2021. Ben bought me a hot chocolate from Quick Trip. Thank you, Ben.
I fronted you a hot chocolate.
You did.
Let's be real.
It was delicious. Thank you.
You're
Starts my
welcome.
day off right.
That's good.
How do you feel about tea?
I love tea.
We'll make tea sometime.
Now, my wife is the tea person.
Gross.
Yeah. Well, I drink of her. Anyway, no.
Worst possible way to say anything.
Yeah, no. Well, I've realized that if you take like a phrase that already sounds kind of weird and suggestive, and then apply like Old Testament verbiage to it gets even worse. Like I grabbeth the pork sword. It's like yeah. He
Oh
jousted
man.
his member in my dress.
Jousted? Oh my
I'm
god, I'm
taking a creative
absolutely
writing
losing my
course right now in my brain.
In my Oh
But,
man.
I don't even know what I was trying to say. I think I was trying to say something, but it's gone now. All
We
I
used to
was
like
just talking
fucking
about meat jousts.
the meat. Well, fucking, that's something that you and I have always delighted
Are
in, though.
you
It's just
guys
fucking
going
with
to the
words.
meat joust? They tie so at the
It's
meat joust, they tie their hands behind their back. Okay.
no,
Anyway,
it's worse than you think, but it's
you've
more
already
entertaining than
visualized
you'd
it. The
imagine.
floor is slick.
The meat joust, but not on purpose. It's the result of the
Fucking...
meat joust. The later on in the meat joust, the more difficult it is to stand.
Oh, well, I would say the result of the meat joust is true love. This podcast is this episode will just be
We're
nothing
fucking,
but
what
like
is this? We're just kidding.
innuendos and dumb shit. You guys will like it.
We always fucking used to like play with words though, like for our whole friendship. Like fucking
Oh, we did.
the if you ever because like, we would always say like, oh, that's an old ass man over there. Like fucking, this is a the this thing is a it's a hot ass skillet or whatever. You throw the word ass in there to say really or
Yeah.
whatever like that. But then if you move the hyphen around, that's not an old ass man. That's an old ass man.
I'm realizing that that actual, that exact thing we did, it wasn't even unique to us. like at all.
Did lots of people do this? I hope they did.
I had friends I talked to later who grew up in different parts of the state and different parts of the country, and they also did that in
high school. That's great. That's great. Or just rhyming.
I think it was something about our generation and our sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we rhymed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, if it rhymed, it was funny.
Exactly. Yeah, no, if you had nothing else to say, you just rhyme with the last thing that somebody said.
So, like, most of my worst, like a lot of the jokes that I wouldn't say anymore because I think they were, not funny. Or like offensive or in some way hurtful, and I used to say them. Most of them, I just thought they were funny because I found a way to make it rhyme.
Yeah, for sure. That was fucking all the time. That and fucking conflating words together. I still do that today. Yeah. I can't stop doing that. What was the one? It's just dumb shit. Ootsie is a really important fossil. It's a man. It's called the Iceman. You've probably seen him. He's all twisted up with his arms to one side.
It looks really cool, though.
Yeah, and it's awesome because he's this perfectly preserved dude who died in the ice, and he was, killed. He was murdered, and, we can see what was in his stomach and know what his last meal was. He's got tattoos all over his body that we can read and see. He's got material. It's such a cool, telling us so much about this dude's life and about the life of the people in this area. So cool. And we were talking about him in archaeological theory, and the professor's like, well, unless we find another Ootsie, we can't find another Ootsie anymore, so we don't know what else. And I was like, I just raised my hand waiting, Tootsie. Just for everybody, it's Tootsie.
Is there a Tootsie?
There is not yet a Tootsie. But, that's the whole thing. Just, if I can find a way to just mish words together.
You bastard. Hilarious. You made me think there was a Tootsie to match my Ootsie. And now
Ootsie
there's not.
Tootsie.
Okay.
Fucking, how many times?
That's some grime step right there.
You talk about that grime step?
Sorry, I was thinking about that last night. Anyway, I know people like that.
No, Lucy Diamond Eyes?
Yeah, I know people that exude. There's people that exude that energy, and then there's also people that are just like that.
Yeah.
Scumfucks. Anyway.
Scumfucks. Skucks.
Yeah, words are fun.
Words are great.
Skucks sounds offensive as fuck.
I was, dude, I didn't post it.
If you went out and you, go stand in a busy town square and you just scream, fucking skucks.
It sounds like
yeah, people are gonna, somebody's gonna know that you fucked up.
I was gonna post it on TikTok. I don't know if I'm going to because I don't know.
Yeah, TikTok's scary.
Right? But there was a trend where people were saying, your middle name backwards is supposed to be beautiful. My middle name is Griffin. Gryphon. So that backwards would be Nochpierg. And that sounds like a fucking, Scandinavian racial slur. And, I don't...
It also sounds like an incantation.
Is it? Or something, yeah.
Well, you shouldn't be saying your name backwards if you believe in magic.
Right, exactly. I'll take away my power.
Yeah, it does something, right? Sure. Isn't that what it is? If somebody... Also, I know your name is very important if you're practicing magic. First of all, I don't believe in any of this shit. But if you guys are out there... This is why my wife hates me, right? Because I don't believe in magic, but I've also, looked at it more than she has. And she's, doing witch talk and stuff. And it's adorable. And I love her. And it's fine. Because she's really just doing it for, a meditation type thing.
Sure, sure.
Anyway. But, which is how I got into, ritual magic and stuff originally. It was it's not so much that I believed in the magic, but it was a thing I could do. And it wasn't Christianity.
That's nice.
But it was a pattern that I could get into. And, so I would do this thing every day, and it was more about, it's kind of like having a gratitude journal, which I need to get back on.
Yeah.
Every day you get up and you write three things you're grateful for, so you remind yourself first thing that you're grateful for something.
That is pretty nice.
And it helps you keep that grateful attitude that it helps. It doesn't fix
anything.
That's
what people used to, it was a meditation stone, then it was called a prayer stone. People just keep a fucking rock in your pocket, and every time you notice it, you think about something you're grateful
exactly.
for.
Exactly. It's a trigger. It's not about the stone's not magic.
Right, right. It's
the
just
brain
keeping
is
your
magic.
Brain working, yeah.
Yeah. But so, anytime you do any, magic or anything like that, your name, is very important. You almost don't even want to let people know it.
Don't tell anybody.
Especially if you if you've come up with a name that has a magical meaning.
Yeah, yeah. Keep that shit to yourself.
You gotta. Until it's time.
Until the time has come.
Just to ask use Crowley. Your name he was power. Completely sane and sound. Very reasonable individual. Anyway. Magic is fun.
Absolutely.
And so is
heroin.
Wordsmith. I don't know about that. I've seen it destroy a lot of lives, unfortunately.
Fucking, we used to...
I've seen people who weren't so bad get way worse on heroin.
That is the downside to it. You're probably fine if you're a good dude.
Yeah. The downside of heroin is that it's gonna make you really cool and then really fucking lame. Drugs aren't cool.
I feel like that's most drugs, if I'm honest.
It kind of is.
It's like, I don't know, man. I haven't done
even
many
the soft
of them,
one. This is the one place. Like, I think marijuana is fine.
Yeah.
I think people should be able to have access to it. I do think that it's foolish for anyone to try to make excuses for marijuana and act like it's not an illicit substance at least a little bit. I hate when people say it's a cure-all.
Yeah.
It's not. I hate when people fucking act like it can't do anything bad to somebody because it can.
Right.
Yeah. And this doesn't make it bad.
Right. It's the same thing as any other like if you drink alcohol.
Ibuprofen gets rid of my headache. If I take enough of them,
it's gonna die.
Yeah, I'll die. Or if I take them for too long at a time, it'll burn a hole in my stomach. Like,
exactly,
anything is bad for you if you do too much.
Right.
And that doesn't magically disappear from the equation when you're talking about marijuana.
That's a really important thing to remember when you're talking about pharmacology in general. It's just like there's no such thing as a bad drug. There's just like a bad dosage. You know what I mean? There's no such thing as a harmful chemical. There's a harmful dosage. Sometimes the dosage is any of it, but that still it doesn't mean that it isn't useful for something else. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like, and I have a hard time because people, like a lot of people, myself included, don't have faith in pharmaceutical companies because they are big evil corporations, but they are also making medicines that do work. I have a hard time finding, like, believing wholeheartedly that doctors and pharmaceutical companies don't want to cure anything.
Right, right.
Like, I understand the logic that people have where they're like, well, if they keep you sick, they keep getting money. But, like, if you really stand back, I don't know how we got on this, but if you really stand back and analyze the American healthcare system, that doesn't make any sense on its own.
Right.
Because the whole thing is too expensive.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's making, like, a shit ton of money. The doctor's not making as much money as you think.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors have a lot of money. They don't have as much as you think.
Right.
The reason doctors' lives are good is because a lot of them already had good lives, and that's why they were able to go to medical school.
Truth. Truth.
And that doesn't mean like they didn't try to, because like medical school is fucking tough. Unless you cheat really well, it's not easy to get through.
Yeah.
So they deserve to be doctors, but they still, you know.
Right. No, that's true. Because like it is fucking hard, but also like you're right. There are jobs like drug reps, for example. Your whole job, the drug company gives you the best suits and the best cars and the best everything because your job is to impress the fuck out of a doctor and have them sell your drugs.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, next time somebody has a headache, give them my shit instead of their shit and we'll pay you money. And you can look it up online. There's registries for that shit where you
can
see.
I just dropped like 50 things over here. I'm
it's
sorry.
It's so cool. There's registries you can look up online. I forgot what it's called, but I'm pretty sure John Oliver talked about it once.
Yeah,
where,
I mean, you're allowed to. It's
you can look up like if your doctor has been paid by what pharmaceutical companies, so you know next time they're like, hey, you need to use naproxidiclin, whatever. Like, you're like, okay, so how much did naproxidiclin pay you to tell me that? Because is there a better option?
Yeah, and like, I think it's totally fair to ask your doctor, are you suggesting this because you think it's actually right in my position, or are you suggesting it because you think it might work and also you get a kickback? Like, which one is it?
Right. But, like, at the end of the day, if the drug doesn't work, they wouldn't, like, it would still be recalled. It still has to be tested. It still has to be everything. That still exists.
Yeah.
And, yes, a lot of things that shouldn't be FDA approved have been, and, yes, a lot of things that should be FDA approved haven't been, and, yes, there's always problems with everything.
Yeah, and for, like, a million different reasons. It's not because, like, we can't sit here and say, like, oh, yeah, the FDA just fucking, like, They're not a big shell. They don't just look at something and it's like, okay, how much money did you pay?
Right,
okay,
exactly.
It's good. Send it out.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not saying that never happens because there's corruption from the bottom all the way
there's
to the top.
There's always corruption.
But it's throughout. But it's not a complete corrupt thing.
That's
it's
what I'm
throughout.
Saying. We can't just complete throughout the whole system because then you get people who are like, oh, well, the drug companies made the COVID vaccine and that means that it's bad. No, it still fucking works. Well, they're paid to sell it. It's for free. Well, then they wouldn't have to do. And it's like, yeah, sure. I agree that these companies are shit. I agree that bad things have happened. This is like, you can't fucking apply that to everything. And you can't just blanket distrust something because of this, that, or the other. You know what I mean?
That would be like if we blanketed distrust. Man, I'm fucking this sentence up. If we blanketed our distrust. How do you say blanket in past tense? all over just the idea of having a military at all.
Sure. Absolutely. And
I don't know if that's a fair analogy, but I think it fits because of us.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't like the military. We often speak about how we have issues with all sorts of things in the military. We still, I think, would agree that at least at this point in human history, America should have a military.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I think it is necessary. I think that the way it's been used historically has been fucking horrible. I think they've also done some cool things. And so I have to take it on a case-by-case basis, and I have to look at, the people as opposed
it's
to the system.
Up because they have. They have. Our military and our armed forces have, and especially the people on individual levels, have done some really cool and some really good shit. Bad and some really horrific shit. And I think you could probably apply that to a lot of militaries.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck. It's crazy. And this idea that of bravery, there's bravery everywhere. Like, you watch the fucking documentary about Chernobyl and stuff. That's a really, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because, at one, you start off looking at the documentary, the videos and stuff, and you're like, oh, it's a bunch of Russians. And by the end of it, you don't fucking have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a normal person, you don't have that disconnection at all anymore. By the end of it, you're like, wow, those people fucking just literally laid down their lives to try to make sure that none of the normal people got hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, dudes going in with no suits on.
Yeah, those fucking people who, dove down into the radioactive water to turn that valve.
To make sure it wouldn't blow up.
Dude.
Fuck it. Yeah,
And they knew they weren't coming out of that fucking water. They knew. They were like,
That's so fucking cool.
That's heroism, and there's no more nationality there. There's no more fucking religion there. That's just, those are fucking human beings who knew exactly what they were doing, who saved other human beings' lives.
That's a tough fucking decision.
Crazy. Yeah, that's fucking crazy. And it is, it's especially tough when, I don't want to get up on a high horse with it, but, something that I often think about is that, what I just said, there's no nationality, no religion. There's no reward then. Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, and I say no nationality or religion in the way that I'm seeing them. Because for them, maybe they were religious and they were like, oh, it's cool, I'll go to heaven after I do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you're an atheist, you don't do that. It's like, fucking no, this is it then. This is the end. There is no reward for this. There's nothing. This is the last thing that will ever happen in my mind.
Yeah.
And that's fucking nuts.
That's terrifying.
We were talking about that before we started. We were talking about dying suddenly and whatnot.
Yeah, because I brought up 1,000 Ways to Die, that episode I watched one time. I don't know if any of you remember that show. I'm sure you do. It's probably still on TV around sometimes. So there was a show, 1,000 Ways to Die, I used to watch back in around the early 2000s.
Well, Spike TV.
I think it went to a couple channels, but I think it started on Spike. Yeah. Okay. Spike was this really cool channel that I don't think exists anymore. It was really cool. It wouldn't work now.
It was really cool when we didn't know any better.
Yeah, and I say that, right? I say that it wouldn't work now, not in a sad way.
No, it's because, a great... Society has advanced to the point where it wouldn't work now.
Yeah,
we'll come back to Spike.
It's funny, but it's not I don't miss it. A lot of people miss it. I don't really miss it. I'm glad it happened.
Exactly. It was formative to me because at the very least it tells me what a fucking idiot I was and what everybody else was.
Exactly. But 1,000 Ways to Die wasn't really in that vein as much. It could be sometimes, but it was because the way it was laid out, there's multiple stories in each episode. It was kind of, it kind of benefited from that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But the one episode I was referencing, I was talking about, was there was a Japanese man. I believe he was going to a very important job interview. Mm-hmm. And when he bowed to greet his potential employer, he went down lower than he had ever bowed in his life because he was so nervous, essentially. And then his blood pressure increased and he had an aneurysm burst and killed him. So I was like, damn.
Yep.
Like that one, that out of all the deaths I watched in that show, that one stuck with me the most because it was so mundane.
Yeah. And the last thing that that guy did was just be polite and then just die.
Yeah. And like, and like, I am terrified that I'll just be doing something
and just fucking just normal, drop.
And then I'll just die.
You won't. Well, the cool thing is you won't even know if that happened.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I'm sure it hurts to have an aneurysm.
For an instant, I guess, but
yeah. Yeah, that sounds like the worst instant, though.
Maybe.
Like,
maybe.
Like, imagine, like, it's like, hey, I have this flaming hot fire poker. It's, like, glowing hot. Mm-hmm. Like, I could shape it right now if I wanted to. Let me just poke that into your back and then, like, immediately pull it away. And, like, I don't know. It's just, like, that's that 1 second. That's enough. Yeah. That's enough for a lifetime.
It's like a fucking... A palatal shot.
I guess if it kills you, though, it's different because the burn is going to hurt you for like a week or two.
Right, right, right.
You're going to have to rub some
lotion. I assume what you meant was that the pain would stop instantly as well, but like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I realized the fat of the, like, fucking the folly of my own.
There's not a lot of comparison, but yeah, no, I get you. It's like there's just the second it happens, it's
over. I'm so dumb, guys. Why do you listen to this?
Why do you listen to this? God. That reflects poorly on you more than us for making it.
And I appreciate that.
Thanks for your bad life choices. Hit that subscribe button.
Woo! It's just tough because you could die at any instant of literally no fault of your own.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I used to have this idea where I was like, yo, you could die. I used to use it as an empowerment thing where I was like, you could die just from walking outside, so you might as well go. And I still have that where I'm like, well, you have to go live your life.
Yeah.
Because you have to. But I'm a little bit more afraid of dying than I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about death on the show a lot. Like, I go back and forth. I'm not, like, right now I'm okay with it, right? But at 2 o'clock in the morning tonight, I might jolt up awake and be terrified of death for a little while.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
I think that's normal, though. You know what I mean?
Everybody seems to say the same thing.
It makes sense. Because, like, I think being
most people. Like, I know some people who don't. Some people who, like, it seems like if you've had things more or less taken care of for you until you reach adulthood and then you still kind of get that leg up. And you, like, you know that everything's on you now, but you also know that there's always a backup safety net. You don't stress as much.
Overall or just
overall
about
and about death?
Yeah.
Some people do. I think it's definitely got more to do with your development. And then I think some people are just wired to view death, like, differently.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense. I don't know if it's possible.
Well, there are, like, it's reasonable because, like, if you're talking about, like, socioeconomic stuff.
I really think, and this is totally speculation, but I really think the way people handle certain things also comes down to genetics.
Really?
I do. I don't want to say, like, good and evil, not like that.
Right, right.
But I think there's something in the way your brain develops, like, before you're even born, almost, that, like, it has a way to do with what you... I wonder what it could be.
Well, there is...
There's things that happen in the womb that can change the way your brain develops.
That is true.
If your mom is stressed all the fucking time, that's gonna change the way you develop.
Yeah, and
if
also
she's in a safe, secure place while she's pregnant, you know, that changes a lot.
Yeah, so, like, there's... First of all, there's epigenetics. Like, when you're pregnant, that can affect you. Yeah. Then there's behavioral evolution. I mean, yeah, these... It's not enough just to not die. You also have to do things that make you live. And so, like, these things factor into each other and you develop behaviors through evolutionary processes. Also, in your adolescence, the type of environment you grow up not only shapes your mind, but also the literal structure of your brain. For example, children who are raised under really stressful situations, abuse, neglect, food insecurity, whatever, one of the stress hormones, cortisol. If you have high levels of cortisol, it actually atrophies the neurons in your frontal lobe. Yeah. And so you have a hard time making good decisions later on in life because you started out hard. So, like, that's one of the many reasons why poverty is generational.
Yeah, personally experienced.
Yeah. And so, like, that's something you have to account for.
This is a thing that's backed up by science, too. So why can't we detach the feelings of, like, well, those people need to pull themselves out of it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Capitalism propaganda is what it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's capitalism propaganda. Yeah, the capitalism propaganda. That's right.
That's what it's all about. But yeah,
that's amazing. There's good people that are completely brainwashed by this shit.
Yeah. That's the scary thing. That really is. When you talk about good people being brainwashed, I think we've talked about it on the show before, is like fucking, you know, suicide bombers are the most moral people in the world. They're the people who are willing to fucking literally lay down their lives for what they believe in. If they believed in something good, they would be fucking superheroes. But instead, they're brainwashed to believe something hideous, and so they do horrible things because of it. But like,
I'm trying to imagine a situation in which it could be like, wow, man, I'm glad that suicide bomber did that. Like, he's a hero. Like, he went into fucking like Equifax building. Like,
nobody pays taxes today.
That's fucked up, because as much as I want to blow up the Equifax building, I would never want anybody who works there to be hurt. Just people pushing papers.
Tweak the joke. He walks into the empty And all surrounding areas also empty.
That's like the only thing, that's like, in retrospect, the only thing Fight Club really got right, and I hope I'm not pissing you guys off, Fight Club was that they did it at nighttime when nobody was working.
Yeah,
like, I liked that. I was like, that's a good way to do it. Because the whole point of Project Mayhem wasn't supposed to be about, like, killing anybody.
It was supposed to be resetting
the debt. But also, the whole point of Project Mayhem was that a crazy person was crazy.
Yeah. I remember when I was young watching Fight Club and really just loving it. And like, oh my God.
That's because Spike TV was a thing.
Exactly, yeah. Because everything in Fight Club made sense. And oh, I was going to go be this, you know, fucking Tyler Durden-esque mom. I'm going to walk in through the outdoor at Walmart.
You and I are still very much broken by what we consider to be, like, a man.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Because of shit like that. Yeah, so it's like Spike TV, just to jump back to this really quick.
We beat the fuck out of ourselves.
We did. It was the man channel, and it was just the most stereotypical dumb fuckery that anybody's ever seen. It was
a very, like, id-driven, like, backlash reaction to, like, how many, like, I think, like, so much TV was geared towards women.
Yeah. Because people thought feminism in general.
Yeah, people equality. Thought women stayed home. Was it feminism, too? I thought it was literally, like, they pushed it as a pushback.
Well, do you remember, like, The Man Show? There was this thing called The Man Show with Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah. And it was the first episode they talked about. I only know this.
To put this in perspective, Jimmy Kimmel has like said he feels bad about the jokes they made on The Man Show.
He's gone back and tried to cover it and said that it was all satire and it was all a joke. And then he tried to say that he didn't want to do the show and he hated it, even though he wrote it. But whatever. And like, it was all like, they're out there like, we have a plague in this country called feminism. And so this is the man show where we talk about manly things for men. And we're all just sit around in a garage and drink beer and talk about boobs. And it was just the most disgusting fucking misogynistic shit.
Then they had
Mansers, which was answers that men want answered, like, how many boobs does it take to power a butt-filled rocket ship to Uranus? Wow!
Yeah.
I remember
getting excited about the concept of Mansers and then watching like one episode and thinking terrible. and they're not answering any questions, because the one thing I did have when I was younger was a desire to learn new information.
When
I was like, well, these aren't questions I have. These aren't questions anybody has.
But they presented it in such a way that like a kid watching it would actually like, because it was like,
yeah, like younger than us.
What type of girls are most likely to let you have anal? If they have pear-shaped boobs, they're in for a threesome, because the statistics say. And it was all just fucking stupid. And like,
it's almost like the origin of like pickup artist science.
Well, and that shit was on that channel too. You have some dude with a giant ridiculous hat, and he's like, I'm the pickup king, because what you have to do is get a girl's attention and then put her down. So wear a sparkly ass hat and then tell her she's fat, and that gets you in the sack. And that was every fucking episode.
Oh my god,
everything.
Forrest, all of the backlash against feminism came from Spike TV.
From fucking Spike TV.
There's a whole generation, there's a whole like group of people who were like 10 to 14 and they watched that shit, and then they went to school and then they grew up and now they're what?
Our age. They're all terrible.
Is this why everybody my age is like starting to fucking like go backwards?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is that this was the shit that was on TV, and it was great. When you're a 13-year-old boy, that's everything that you're supposed to think at the time. But it was programmed by adults for adults, and the people who grew up watching that are still 13 in their head. They're still like...
They are, and they still have this, like, fucking weird reaction to anything that they think threatens their manhood.
Yeah, and they, it's like we talked about at the beginning. The people who are like, I'm not gay. I'm so not gay. I only jerk it to gay porn because regular porn has women in it, and women like dick, and that's gay. So fucking stupid.
It's not gay to like dick if you're a woman. It's only gay to like dick if you're a man.
That's why every time I have a gay thought, I make sure to dress up in high heels and stockings so that way I'm not gay.
I play detective. I go to the bar and catch me a gay.
Oh my God.
God, dude. He's like, wow, that was great. Yeah, you're gay. It's like, I know. You are too. That's why I came back to your place.
I ain't no gay.
Gotcha. Gay ball.
You think I fucked you? I'll let you fuck me because you're the gay guy.
It's just, it, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the man show was pretty detrimental.
It was terrible.
I don't want to say terrible anymore. I want to say detrimental.
That's, you know what? That's a good distinction.
I want to say detrimental. I want to know if, like, I didn't watch it as much, you know? Like, I watched it a lot for a little while, and then I didn't. But I do think it probably fucked a lot of people up.
Yeah. Well, it taught children, you know, how to behave in public, is the thing. Is that's the one thing that, like, I always get, is that every single thing that an adult does... in public is teaching. It's teaching kids. Because kids look around, they try to build their society views, you know, their worldview. And so every single thing on TV... is teaching kids. Everything is educational.
I want to take that further. Everything they view on a screen, because it's 2021.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah, I guess I shouldn't say just TV. Yeah, you're right.
In our day, it was cable TV. Now, a cable and satellite and a little bit of the internet. Nowadays, it's YouTube. It's TikTok. It's Vivo.
Vivo. But yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And it's like there's...
Quibi.
We have so Quibi.
I think Quibi will be something someday.
It's going to be big, you guys.
I do.
But, like, fucking every single thing that kids watch is educational. It's always teaching them because they're learning how adults are behaving. And they want to be like those adults. Whether they look up to them, whether they decide that they don't like that person and they're going to try to do everything that person, you know, isn't and, like, whatever. It's why it's so hard whenever you tie in any kind of, like, identity to an actual educational thing. You know what I mean? Because if I'm actually teaching science to kids, I really, really hesitate to talk about any politics or any religion, because then it's like, oh, it's the Democrat, the Republican, the atheist, the Christian, the Hindu, makes me think this way. Whether or not I believe with those things now influences whether or not I believe what they're actually saying. And that's a really hard line to tread. And I waver on either side of it. But, like, it's tough because those things matter to those kids. Everything matters. Everything is teaching them how to behave, and they're going to behave like you behave if they like you. And if you don't behave well, then you're making more minions. It's not just a parenting thing. It's a teacher thing, and everybody is a teacher all the time.
It sucks because the creative and the artist in me, like, always opposes the idea that, like, you need to protect people. Like, you don't need to protect the people from the art. You need to protect the art from the people.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, like, we shouldn't stop somebody from drawing a picture that's offensive because they're allowed to draw. First of all, they have this offensive image in their mind. Might be the only way for them to get it out of their fucking mind.
Sure.
The more I learn about the creative process, sometimes you're just getting bad shit out.
Dude, seriously.
And you just throw it away.
I have stopped so many anxiety attacks by writing down what I'm anxious about and, like, making sure the spelling is perfect, punctuation, but really going back and proofreading it and throwing it away.
And I want to hit again, because, like, so when we were growing up, one of the big arguments, and it's still a pretty big argument, but it's lost a lot of the teeth, is the gaming argument. Like, you know, oh, these games are making kids violent. I thought it was laughable when Trump and Pence started trying to blame video games for shit.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this argument is kind of over.
Yeah.
And you could tell that it was kind of over. When they first brought it up, I was like, God damn it. But then I saw how it didn't have any wind in the sails at launch.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, people... Because the thing is most people that are, like, gonna be listening to this argument, people raising kids now, we made our decision in the 90s when we were kids.
Right.
Like, we decided then, almost, most of us.
Well, they weren't that, they weren't talking to millennials. They were talking to the old people like
them. I know. Still don't and those people are almost irrelevant, and they know it. And that's why they're acting the way they are.
They're dying in droves.
And COVID. I don't say irrelevant to be mean, because I still think we got to take care of those people and love them. It's just time to stop letting them make so many fucking decisions.
For real.
But it's the thing. So the argument was always like, oh, these were like, fucking Mortal Kombat and shit back in the day. Now it's hilarious to watch the blood in Mortal Kombat. But back then, they thought it was going to make me kill my grandma.
Yeah.
So
that wasn't what did it. Something else did.
Yeah. So that's not why I snapped. I didn't fatality my family because of Mortal Kombat. I knew how because of Mortal Kombat. No. But so like it's shit like that. The violent video, blah, blah, blah. And we all knew back then. We were like, that's bullshit. It's the parents' job to make sure the kids don't take that stuff in.
Yeah.
I still agree with that. But as a parent, I'm finding it difficult. They're sneaky.
Yeah.
They get into shit.
Well, it's not even what they're taking in, just to teach them the difference between fantasy and reality.
You know well, it's mean? Difficult sometimes.
What do you mean?
Some kids, like I have three, some of the, well, one of them is two, so she doesn't understand shit yet.
Idiot.
But yeah, dumbass. But they, you know, stupid baby. But so like one of them, it's easier to explain. This is fantasy. This is reality. One of them, it's a little bit more difficult. He just doesn't interpret it as easily. And I don't know why, but like, and it's not like a complete disconnect. Like I've seen with some kids, he still gets it, but it's a little bit harder. You have to spend a little bit more time drawing that distinction for him. And that's, you know, that's fine. But real in dealing with that, I've realized that like, okay, it's not as simple as like, turn the TV off.
Well, also at a certain age. Don't let them
watch this. At a certain age, it is okay because they start to develop that
line by themselves. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. At a certain age, as far as we talk about distinguishing fantasy and reality.
The thing is, I developed it by the time I was like 6.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, you still have imagination and shit. You know
I had tons sometimes of imagination. And I'm sure a lot of stuff affected me that I should. Like, I know like there's movies and stuff I watched that I shouldn't have watched yet.
Right.
And it's affected the way I developed in some way.
It is crazy to think about like.
But like, I'm not going to kill somebody because of the games I played. Like, I'm not going to, you know, because I know those are games, like they're power fantasies, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and I always kind of knew that.
The things that I thought were cool at a young age, even the things that I no longer think are cool now, still like. I noticed that this shapes my personality in a little bit of a way.
Well, you know I noticed that the Man Show and not I and in fact, I'm going to drop the Man Show from it completely. Not completely. It's part of it. The things we experienced, what we were taught was supposed to be manly and manhood growing up. I know for a fact that affects me now. It is damaging to my marriage because there's things that have happened and they affect me more than they would have if I had the modern. I have a modern view on humanity and the way it's supposed to act. But because I was raised in a different way and because I experienced these other things and
the
because,
scars are still
and
there.
Because like certain things are tied directly to my fucking ability to be a man.
Yeah.
So when this thing happens that I have no fucking control over,
mm-hmm.
none, it fucking reflects on me and it damages my manhood. And that's such a stupid fucking concept.
Yeah.
But it has an effect on my anxiety and my ability to perform as an adult.
Yeah.
And my like, my feelings towards my own self and my own family and my wife and my relation, like all these different things. And I know a lot of it just stems from just stupid shit that I just experienced or watched or developed growing up. And I know like if I can detach myself from some of those things, which I'm working on, I will be happier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, and I will be able to make other people happier.
Yeah.
I will be a more like forgiving person. I'll be more accepting. And like, I know all this stuff. But I still have a very difficult time getting rid of those attributes.
Well, you can do both. You I can know. Have a problem and also be working on it.
Oh, yeah, you have
like,
to.
It's not like it's all or nothing. Not, I am broken until I am fixed.
I had to learn with mental illness and any kind of thing, and habits and all this shit. It's not a, oh, I have a problem, I fixed it, problem's gone. It's I have a problem and I work every chance I remember.
Yeah.
Every time I'm confronted with a problem, I try to address it head on. In my new way.
Well, and it's also, it's super important to notice, like, you to, like, notice that growth and be proud of that growth, because you can be proud of how far you've come and also know that you have more to do and continue working on that. You know what I mean? Like, I have a hard time with emotions, having them, because I don't know how.
I know.
And, like, I just don't, I've never had the opportunity to feel things until, you know, relatively recently in my life. And like now for the past few years, I've been trying to practice just letting myself feel things rather than just like, this is, you know, neither happy nor productive, must not be important, carry on with the other thing, you know what I mean? And so, like, the other day, I cried watching a sad thing in a movie. Didn't have any tears come out of my face, but I was noticeably choked up.
Like a little bitch.
Right? But I was noticeably choked up and, like, had a hard time talking.
It's really weird when that happens, but it feels good.
Well, I've never done that before, and it was hard to experience that.
I'm just looking at you. It seems like it's hard for you to even talk about it.
Yeah, I don't know what words to use.
Is that it? It's just you're just trying to describe it, or is it because you don't want to admit that had a feel?
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with admitting. I genuinely don't know how to process or like express. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like that's a new thing.
It's so weird to think about you that way because I guess we've just been so close for so long that we get to talk about those aspects more. So like I've seen your emotional side. I've seen you like. In the depths of depression, I've seen you ecstatic. I've seen, you know, I've seen the range more.
But I kind of just sit there.
So you did. So I know you have them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's disassociation. We both used to do that shit. I mean, like, why do you think I didn't do my work in school?
Yeah.
When I was seven, I didn't do my 7 or 8. It doesn't matter. They were the same thing.
That was same
I didn't
for a
do
few
my
years.
Work in school and I fucked around and made everybody laugh because I wanted to see people be happy instead of see people fighting and hitting each other.
So, exactly.
So,
yeah.
So like, and then when I went home, it was people fighting and hitting each other. So whenever I was at school, I was like this really awesome, fun, happy person. They'd be like, "What's it like at your house?" And I wouldn't say shit.
Yeah.
I'd be like, "Oh, I play Super Nintendo."
Yeah.
And that became a core part of my personality because it had to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was the thing. It's like that you're absolutely right. Because, like, everyone around me assumed that I lived in a very nice place. And
Everybody thought Forrest had money because he dressed nice, because he would buy, like, one nice pair of clothes.
And wear the fuck out of it.
Yeah, with all of his, like, money.
Yeah. And so, like, everyone assumed I came from something. Everybody assumed that I had a million suits. Everybody assumed that I was, like, all this great blah, blah, blah. Because I projected what I wanted. And like that exact same thing. Just like, this is what I would rather my life be. So here, you know, this, and people believe you, but like it's tough. And I generally find that people like you and I, people who are always the class clown, who are this, you know, go out to be the center of attention, trying to make everybody laugh. We tend to be the ones who are concealing the most pain as well, because this is better than feeling that right now.
That's why every comedian fucking took a week off when Robin Williams died.
Yeah.
And I say died, but
yeah. Well, that's the thing. If Anthony Bourdain and Robin Williams can kill themselves, like, fuck, man.
Anthony Bourdain was one of my heroes.
He was so cool.
Like, because not only did he cook amazing food and show me really cool dishes, but what was the name of the fucking show?
No Reservations.
No Reservations was good, but there's another one, I think before No Reservations. No, that when he goes to, like, Vietnam and, like, different provinces, like, he goes and actually sits with the people.
Yeah, yeah,
he's
makes
the food with them and
very
stuff.
Well-read, very well-traveled.
And, like, and all of that stuff. So, like, it's not even just that, oh, he got to travel and eat all this food. That's cool.
Yeah.
He also knew how beautiful life is.
Yeah.
He knew.
Better than most people, yeah.
He loved life. And he killed himself.
He was still done with it,
He loved his family, and he killed himself. And that's the thing about suicide, is that it comes in an instant. As somebody who has had suicidal ideation, like, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Because you'll be fine, and then something will hit you the wrong way or whatever. Or you might not even be hit by something, you just get the emotion dump.
Yeah, you're not thinking about anything else.
And now it's like,
I used to be stupid about it. I used to think that suicide was this selfish, easy way out and all this stuff.
We were taught to say
exactly.
That.
Exactly. This is what, because that was the shit that was on Spike TV and shit, is that like it's the bitch's way. No, you're not thinking about anything else. You are thinking about nothing else but like that pain. And that's unbelievable. And it's not something you can track or predict either. It hits you sideways. Like you can't see it coming if you're on the outside. You know what I mean? If somebody kills themselves around you, you can't go back and look like, oh, there was this pattern that I should have recognized. No, you fucking couldn't.
Yeah, it's not your fault.
It's not going to happen. So, like, it's an incredibly complex, difficult, painful, insane thing that happens to the brightest, happiest people, and yet it's still something that, like, we as a society decide not to talk about, not to deal with. Like,
we're going to have to decide sooner or later. The time is coming where we're going to have to decide. And this is something I was thinking about the other day, too. Like, not only mental illness, but we're going to have to decide if criminality and criminal behavior, if that's something that people deserve
jail time for. Amber and I were talking about that the other day because, like, she was talking about this serial killer, that she was, and she, how crazy he was. So here's a cool case study. Is this dude,
do you remember his name?
No, I don't. But he double digit murder, rape, mutilation, blah, blah, blah.
What did he do? How'd he do it?
So there's two that we were talking about. The first one was the Green River Killer.
Yeah, the Green River Killer.
Yeah, yeah. And he, you know, murdered, you know, a couple dozen prostitutes.
Yeah, it was very, and nobody looked for him for a long time.
Yeah, and then he just went and got a family.
It's they talk about it. Dude. Yeah, they talk about it on, and he was great to his family.
Yeah, and the police officers were like, if you didn't know, you'd be his friend. He was the nicest dude, just as cheerful as can be. And he talked about his murders, as a matter of factly. It's like, yeah, no, I totally killed her and dumped her over there. What are you having for lunch? Just like totally just chill. And like, that was one of them. And then we were talking about this other guy who I don't remember the name of because it was a case study for a psychology class. So I don't know the name. But the dude was, you know, killed and mutilated like a dozen people. And he finally got caught because he kidnapped this girl, raped her, tortured her, mutilated her in his basement, everything, and then got bored and had her ID because he had her wallet, knew where she lived, and just dropped her off at home and was like, have a nice time.
I don't know the name, but I know this case. Yeah. It's also been on LPN.
Yeah. He was like, I really had a nice time. I hope you did too. Call me if you want to do it again sometime. Bye. And they caught him 5 minutes later. Cause she's like, fuck, call please. And when they presented, like, they're talking to this dude, and he's like, yeah, of course I did these things. Why wouldn't I? And they even, like, they would read, like, details of his case, but with different names. And they're like, hey, this guy caught these kids and did these things. And he'd be like, oh, that's fucking horrible. You should catch that guy. Nobody should do that. And they're like, hey, did you torture these kids? Like, yeah, I did. It was great. He'd total disconnect. And so, like, what this shows... It, like this, in that case in particular, the reason why I know about it was because that guy, when he was like 5 or 6 years old, was in a horrible car accident that wiped out a huge part of his frontal lobe.
Oh, yeah. Most serial killers have like a concussion.
Like 30% of men on death row have a history of concussive frontal lobe injury, like concussions to the front of their head. And so like...
This sucks because knowing this does not take away the pain they cause to all those other people.
No, but it does teach us like how we should treat our brains, because that's the thing. When you have somebody with frontal lobe damage, they can't control their impulse, even if they know they should. So like the fun experiment, you have 5 M&Ms in one hand, you have 1 M&M in another hand, and you hold them both hands. If they reach for the 5, you pull it back and you give them the 1. If they reach for the 1, you pull it back and give it the 5. Monkeys will figure this out within about 3 rounds. They'll get it, and they'll start reaching for the 1, taking the 5 every time. You give somebody with frontal lobe damage this test, and they'll say to you, I know what you want. If I reach for the 5, you're going to pull it away. So what I need to do is reach for the 1, and then I'll get, and then they'll reach for the 5, and you'll take it. And they can't stop. They can't not do it.
And it's really interesting.
And so, like, they understand entirely, but they just can't resist it.
And that's the hard thing with serial killers, because you can prove that they knew exactly what they were doing.
But they just didn't see it as wrong in their case.
Yeah, but you can also, they're also crazy.
Right, exactly.
Which is why most of the time we lock them up, but we don't, like...
Yeah, and there's a difference between that and, like, sociopathy, where you genuinely don't understand what emotions are. And you just don't have to
get... Because I hate these people, these serial killers. Like, people who kill, like, all... Like, the dude who murdered, like, fucking 20 prostitutes and got away with it for 10, 15 years because the cops didn't look for him because they're the less dead and all this shit. And it's like... And I hate that guy, but at the same time, I'm terrified. What if I had gotten hit? A kid threw a rock in my head when I was a kid. I have multiple... I have so many concussions. Mm. But it was in the back.
No.
So it caused different problems. And I still have morals up here in the front. And that's... it's just terrifying. It's scary. And then we talk about people growing up in the stressful situation. You know, my wife is like that. She has problems with decisions because of the prefrontal cortex didn't develop the way it needed to because of what everything that happened to her.
Yeah.
And none of it's her fault. She was a fucking kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we have to deal with it now as adults, and we have to try to learn how to cope. And it's just like, it's, it sucks.
Yeah, man.
It sucks.
It really
I'm not saying she sucks. I'm saying the brain sucks.
Yeah.
It's also amazing, but it sucks.
We've got to start, like, as a society, taking these things more seriously. And I think next time we should definitely talk about that more.
I do. I only touched on it because I do want to bring it up later and go more in depth after we've maybe even done a little bit more research. But the thing with criminality, because criminality is it seems like in a lot of cases, it is like it's just you don't have the thing that stops you.
Mm.
And can we say like that person is bad?
Yeah.
I don't think you can say that people who impulsively steal things, like, it's hard because it's like, to me, it's like stealing is horrible.
Mm.
So I won't do it unless I'm put in a situation where it's like, oh, my kid needs to eat.
Yeah, I'm going to say
then I might do it. If it's feeding my kids, I'll probably do all kinds of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as me, as far as I go as an individual, I don't steal things. I definitely don't steal like a toy or a fucking video, you know, stuff like that. I don't do it because I have decided and I feel that it is wrong. I don't like the way it would make me feel. I've stolen one thing in my life, I think, that I can remember, and it was, like, the worst feeling I ever had in my life, and it was, like, a booster pack. I was a kid. It was a booster pack of Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad I told my mom, and she made me go back and pay for it. So I just can't do it.
Right.
And, like, but it's just, it's not a decision. It's my brain. It forces me to be that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I worry that we're just treating people very horribly.
Yeah. And then we make more problems, and then those problems cause more problems, and we're like, how do these problems keep arising?
It's almost like we got to find a way as a society to admit to ourselves that in most cases, especially like these heinous crimes, nothing is going to take the pain away.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. So our option, that's not on the table. Our option to take the pain away and serve quote unquote justice is not on the table. There is no justice.
Mm.
We need to find the best way to handle this person for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And that's complicated. It's complicated.
Yeah. That thing that you just said there at the end about the pain, that reminds me of the cool stuff about reparations that I also want to talk about next time as well, because like there's a lot of levels. Like, can you fix it? No. Can you make it better? Can you put a part of it back? Can you like do something? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
we should definitely put that in the notes and talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate to do this because we really could go for a little bit longer.
We could go for an hour
longer. We could go forever. This has been a fun one.
Yeah, man.
I had a lot of fun with these conversations. I don't know how we're going to title it.
We started with meat jousting.
Yeah, okay, there we go. But it's been a good one. I do have to go to work early today, so I dragged my ass coming in.
Bitch with a job.
I know. Well, if we keep doing this right.
Right. Hey, get us, tell your friends to subscribe, because if we get over 1,000 subscribers, we can monetize this channel.
Oh, yeah, we're almost there, guys.
And we'll make, with the amount of views that we get, we will make 48 cents per video. That's not nothing.
We need to triple it.
But
do it.
Tell your family and friends to subscribe to the worst podcast on the internet.
Hide your wives.
Tell random people on the street. Tell strangers on the internet.
Buy a shirt and wear it to prom.
Make flyers and post them around your town.
With the QR code. It's 2021. Get with the times. Send them directly to the podcast.
Do people use QR code still? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if we were to put up posters of the show and we didn't put a QR code on it, we're idiots.
Yeah,
nobody's going to type in a hyperlink.
Well, yeah, but like you put it in Google.
Do you remember that? Do you remember reading hyperlinks and copying?
I did it this morning. I hope you guys have an awesome rest of your day. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.